Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals. And Lottery West. Celebrate like you've scored a century. Oz Lotto. Get amongst it this Tuesday. Play responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Welcome to Sports Day here on this Monday. Our number is 922-11882 AFLW on the weekend. The Eagles were flogged. The Freo Dockers continued their winning run, getting home by 3 points over Collingwood. The AFL pre-season got underway. Bontempelli, Petrarca and Neil absolutely outstanding in their respective matches. And the Gold Coast Suns pasted the Cats, so I stuck the fork in a few weeks ago. I said that the Cats would be the sliders in 2020. Well, I just wonder whether my prediction as to whether them will whether they will struggle, Paul Hasby, has gotten underway already. Good evening to you.
Good evening to you too, Carl. Are you going to give any credit to the Gold Coast Suns? You like to stick a fork in them at every opportunity. But I'm bullish, and I have been for a while now on this club. I think they're turning things around. They're re-signing all of their star players. And if you throw in Matt Rowe and Noah Anderson, they made their debuts for the club. They were outstanding. Their recruits, very good, in Greenwood and Alice. Then you've got Lukosius, Ben King, Will Brody, Ben Ainsworth, who are maturing and will be better for their seasons at the club. And Sexton, how good a player is Alex Sexton? He kicked 6 goals. He kicked 39-29 last year in a really poor side. I think he can win the Coleman Medal this year.
Oh, is that a big stretch?
I think they can win 8 games, the Gold Coast Suns. There you have it.
Alex Sexton winning the Coleman Medal. Righto. Okay. Just write that down, Carl. It's one of Hayes' dumbest statements for 2020. That goes into the 3 AFL Grand Finals, and we'll play one over in the United States of America. Book that one. 922-11882. What did you like out of the weekend, and what did you dislike? I've got a couple of emails that I will read out shortly. Our number is 922-11882. Love to hear your thoughts on any of that. We've also had the Fury and Wilder fight. Fury won every round of that over the weekend. James McFadden won the World Series Sprint Cars. There's about 9,000 to 10,000 fans down at the Perth Motorplex. Unbelievable. The Adelaide 500 underway in supercars, and Scott McLaughlin kicked off his season in winning style. So did Jamie Wincup. He won on Saturday. It was McLaughlin, though, who cleaned up on Sunday to take away the points. He leads marginally in the championship there. Perth Glory had a draw with the Brisbane Roar. Madison Inglis won the Tennis International here in Perth. Maxie Gawn is going to captain Melbourne, and Andrew Gaff is playing State of Origin footy.
That is good news, Carl, because I was very surprised, and I actually texted through to the West Coast Eagles and said, what about Andrew Gaff when the selections were made? And he wasn't put in there because they had a very strong side, the Vicks, with their wingmen, so he missed out, and I probably think they didn't have any other positions for him, but he replaces a sore Ben Cunnington. I hope that's the last of the players that pull out. We don't want to lead up to it this week and then have some big names pull out of this, because you get one opportunity to get the very best. Now, I want to start off with a dislike, and I haven't liked them for a couple of weeks now, and that's how Australian women team. They only just got there, Carl, 5-for-123, chasing down Sri Lanka. But they were 3-for-10 in all sorts of trouble, saved by Rachel Haynes, 60-off-47. Meg Lanning, a pro's knock of 41. But there was a lot of catches, and we were watching it, and the fielding from Sri Lanka, very poor. The umpires may have got one or two decisions wrong, which would have made it harder for Australia. But this doesn't look like a team that's ready to go back-to-back. Not today, but the poor performance that we saw in the earlier fixture against India and the lead-up games, either we're playing badly or the rest of the world have caught up, Carl.
Let's roll into the dig.
The dig. Dial before you dig. The essential first step.
Now, Hayes, dial before you dig, the essential first step. What is the whole idea about having a game on Monday with the world's best female cricketers, and let's face it, we've got some very, very talented players, being played when there's only about as many at this game? It's the best female cricketers in the world that were at our charity game. Mm. There's about 3,000 there. I mean, maybe 5 at the most, I reckon, just looking at all of the coverage that I've watched today and tonight. I mean,
well, I'll tell you why.
Why are they playing right now? There's a doubleheader, right? And it involves Australia. And you've got people who have finished work now, and at 6 o'clock they got some chance to go and pick the kids up from school and go along to the cricket and take them down and see the best girls play, but they're dumb.
Same reason, Carl, as we play AFL games here at a certain time that suits the East Coast. Even the Perth Wildcats have gone through this. It's not good enough, and they did try and fill the WACA. That was the campaign that was put out by WACA officials. Well, you can't fill it if you're starting at 3 o'clock because the kids who want to follow their heroes can't make it unless they leave school.
But that's all well and good. But time zone in India and Bangladesh is very similar to what our time zone is here, right? So India and Bangladesh are playing now. Why couldn't have they had the India and Bangladesh game earlier in the day if we're going to work it that way and have Australia taking on Sri Lanka now? I mean, in the end, it turned out to be a great game. There was some poor fielding by the Sri Lankans that you've pointed out. I mean, they dropped three catches late and they've ended up winning Australia by 5 wickets with only 4 balls to spare. But it could have very easily been different.
Would have been an embarrassment too.
They had, and this is something about, and I don't really like this, and I reckon we should roll in the man-cad discussion here too, Hayes, but they had used their review, Sri Lanka, so they didn't get to use one when Lanning was given not out, when clearly the ball had hit the bat. The umpire gave it not out. Because they'd used their reviews, Lanning gets away with one, she stays there, and in the end, she was the difference.
Yep, we want to roll in that man-cad discussion. We saw it last night in the England game. Catherine Brunt, she was the bowler, but she opted not to do it on this occasion. Now, I hate the look of the man CAD when they run in and they try to run out the opposition batsman or batswoman in this case. And I think something needs to be done by the ICC to fix this. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I welcome callers tonight. How can we fix batsmen that are trying to get an unfair advantage? Because at the end of the day, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get an extra metre or two. And when we're talking about the small margins involved in winning or losing T20 fixtures, I think something like maybe a warning from the umpire, or two or three warnings, of where you're trying to get an unfair advantage, you're out. How does that sit with you, Carl? Or how do we fix this scenario? Because right now, I think everybody's a bit frustrated with it, and it's a real bad look
at
the game.
Me? Just run them out. If they want to
allow it?
If they want to back up, and be running halfway down the pitch before you've even bowled the ball, which I saw numerous times when I was bowling, Hayes, then just run them out. Now, I would always give them a warning first, but as far as I'm concerned, that
should
be...
So you as the bowler would give them a warning?
Yeah, I'm happy to give them a warning once. I'll tell them. I said, mate, if you want to... I'll say to you, hey, straight up, if you want to leave the crease early, that's fine, but next time, I'm running you out. So you let them know. I think that's sportsmanship. I reckon that's something that you can take in to your own, you know, the way that you want to play the game and the spirit of the game, if you like. But, mate, I'll be given a warning, and then next time, mate, ta-da, the goose. And I wouldn't have any sympathy if I've done it that way. Don't dig yourself into a hole. Lodge a free dial before you dig inquiry if you'd like to have your dig tonight. I've got this one from Dean. He says, guys, love the show. Have a massive gripe about AFLW. I love women's sport. I'm a big supporter. I love the Matildas, the Aussie women's cricket team. I reckon they wow the crowd. And netball is always and has always been thrilling to watch. In particular, I think us blokes can learn a thing or two about how sport should be played. There's no dummy spits, no faking, no sledging. All in all, it's a refreshing change to see true sportsmanship. It's exciting to watch, and sportswomen to the ilk of Elise Perry and Meg Lanning and Sam Kerr, who are true role models for young girls. And if my three-year-old daughter is inspired, this is a great thing. Now, I'm truly getting sick and tired of everyone pretending that AFLW is worthy of the same exposure with the words like AFLW star being rammed down our throats at every opportunity. I applaud the effort of the women playing the sport. Nobody can deny the passion displayed, but the game is as a spectacle, utterly deplorable. 9221882. Do you want to have a dig like Dean has at that, or do you have a different opinion? 9221882. Tony from Stirling joins us here on Sports. Say welcome.
Oh, hi. How are you going, Carl? I've got 2 points, and then I'll hang up and listen to the comment. The Bombers, they won't win a premiership for 2 decades. And if the Fremantle women's team win a premiership before the males, that's a disgrace as well. On the boys' behalf. Poor Hazeby, what do you think about that?
If the women I don't know if it's a disgrace. We've all tried. We've all tried to get that premiership, but clearly it hasn't occurred. But let's let Fremantle, when they come in, it wasn't easy. The West Coast Eagles were in existence. They were dominant. They had the first pick of all the best players in the state, and that's a key reason, I believe, why they were successful. Yes, they're also a very good organisation, but we're seeing the reverse right now, aren't we? We're seeing Fremantle established in the AFLW, the best of all the talent here, although a few got taken over east, and then now we're seeing the West Coast Eagles come in as the second team, get the second best talent available, and the results have been quite similar, where the Dockers struggled early, the Eagles look like they're going to struggle early. I can't see them winning the AFLW Premiership within the next two, three, maybe even four seasons as well. So, you know, you can't give us a hard time. We aren't happy that we haven't won a Premiership, but I'd like to think we are getting closer, even though I don't think it's going to be great this year for the Dockers. I think they're on the right path with some good youngsters showing some form.
Hey, Tony, you're still there. Why do you think that the Bombers won't win a Premiership for a couple of decades? Oh, he's gone. That's a bit of a shame. I'd like to see him elaborate a little bit.
Because they've got so many injuries again.
Well, they're not the only club. I mean, I spoke about Geelong and saying about their injuries, and Melbourne have got a few injuries too, but they kicked off this season pretty well, and I thought that Tom McDonald was a player that played pretty well on the weekend, and he had a disastrous season last year. Pete Invicton joined us. G'day, Pete.
G'day, Carl. Hi, how are we?
Good.
Good debut by, talking about the Gold Coast, Jeremy Sharp, a WA boy who got drafted last year, who got missed out getting picked up by West Coast or Fremantle. Kicked one goal too.
He did.
You missed that in the review, Hayes?
Yeah, I was talking. I'm not convinced he'll play straight away yet, so. But, good call.
Good debut. And, Carl, on the man cad, if we change the no ball back to the back foot rule, gives the umpire to see the no ball, plus also if the batsman's leaving early.
I think that you make a really good point, and there's every possibility that that might well take place. Although, given that they've just introduced the technology that they're using now in the Women's T20 World Cup, that might then give the umpire, say, more ability to judge this sort of stuff a little bit better. But, you know, the way I see it is that they are either being instructed to use the technology when it comes to these run-out scenarios. And look, in a mad cad situation, I think it comes down to the actual players themselves. I mean, you can just come in and constantly keep bowling and not worry about it, which is what probably a lot of bowlers actually do. Or if you are one that likes to keep an eye on the opposition player, then, you know, it's the way you go about it. It's whether you just run them out, or it's whether you feel that in your own, you know, your own cricket psyche as to whether you give them a warning. What do you feel about that, Pete?
Oh, I think the warning's definitely warranted, but if you've planted the back foot in the delivery stride, you can then turn around and say, well, you're committed to the bowling action. So,
yeah,
and the batsman goes off in that process, but it then gives the umpire a chance to, in the warning and then second the batsman, say, well, yeah, you're leaving the crease early.
Beautiful, mate. Granted. Thank you for your call, and thanks for getting involved. And if you'd like to join Pete and Tony, you can, 922-1182. If you'd like to have a dig at something or someone, and what did you like or dislike out of the weekend? There was so much sport and WA. We'll have a chat to Cam Green. He was the star today. He hit 105 not out. WA at stumps, 6 for 291 against Tasmania. We'll talk to Sam Lane about the AFLW. We'll also have a chat to Dale Amos. He is a assistant coach of the Carlton Football Club and a bloke by the name of William Rollo, who finished second in the solo swim to Rottnest over the weekend. 922-1182 is our number, though, and more of your calls next.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals. And Lottery West. Celebrate like you've scored a century. Oslotto. Get amongst it this Tuesday. Play responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Our number is 922-1182. If you'd like to have a chat about anything that you liked or disliked out of the weekend, did you watch the Fury and Wilder fight? He won it in very impressive style, in my opinion. He won every single round. Wilder, it's been revealed, had a burst eardrum. There was some conjecture around the towel being thrown in, and when it was thrown in, and
that was the right call, though, wasn't it?
Well, I think it probably should have been thrown in earlier then, if you're going to make the right call. But I mean, he was clearly wobbling around on his feet. He had blood, streaming from his ear a lot earlier than when they decided to throw the towel in. And in fact, he looked like he was out of it probably three rounds earlier.
Was the punch
he did
legal,
really well.
Happy with the punch that got him? Because of the rules of boxing, you're not supposed to go to the back of the head with your punches.
Well, it wasn't the back of the head. It was straight into his ear, wasn't it? I don't know. It was necessarily at the back of the head where the temple is.
It's a good story, isn't it? The Tyson Fury story. Seeing where he's come from.
Well, what about he was saying going in, though? He was going to, buy $30 hookers and cocaine. And then, you know, there was all this sort of stuff. And what about the liquor flicker? When he had him, he was in close, and you see his tongue. Whilst he didn't make contact, Tomo was saying that he was actually licking his neck, and there was all blood splattered over his neck. He didn't actually lick him. He just stuck the tongue out and was wiggling his tongue, but he actually didn't make contact with Wilder's body at that particular moment.
And then the theatre after the fight, singing the song in the ring, getting everybody to participate in that. He's a star, and look, he had some real issues in his own life going back a few years, and he called out Wilder a long time ago to give him an opportunity. He got that opportunity. The first one was a draw. He is now right up there with some of the best boxers in the world, no doubt about that.
And now, what did you make of the AFL pre-season? Spoke about Bontempelli and Petrarca and Lockie Neal, 47 disposals to kick off, not bad.
He just does that for fun, Lockie Neal. But Christian Petrarca was the big one. This is a guy that's underperformed, in my opinion. He was a high draft pick, number one draft pick going back a few years, and he's been inconsistent. He's been that half forward. He needs to get into the midfield, and he's now got that with the extra training that they've done under Melbourne and Darren Burgess. It looks like he's got him super fit. A number of disposals will still be able to go forward. He should be like Fife and also Dustin Martin in the way that he plays, and I think they'll get that this year. But Port Adelaide, for mine too, they beat Brisbane, and they lack a key forward, and they've got that. Charlie Dixon is super fit as well. He kicked the four goals to go with his 18 disposals. And with improvement in Rosie and Butters and Burzma, who all had good games, I think they're another team that could slide into the top eight. It's going to be very difficult to predict
your top eight.
We'll try that closer to the season.
Well, hang on. No, it's fine to sort of say who's going to slide into your eight, but it's a matter of who's then going to slide out of the eight. Now, I've put the kiss of death on Geelong. They won 16 games last year and were minor premiers, so they finished top. Brisbane finished second. You see, Brisbane hanging in there. Richmond,
yes.
A lot of predicting to be the premiers back-to-back. Collingwood, do you see them going anywhere? I don't. West Coast, do you see them staying about the place? GWS, they made the grand final. Are they staying in? Then you get to the Western Bulldogs. I've predicted them to finish in the top four, so it leaves Essendon as the four guy. So I've got Essendon and Geelong right now. I'm suggesting that Essendon and Geelong are the only two that finished in the eight last year that are, at the moment for me, given their injury scenarios, and that's mainly how I'm making my prediction here, Geelong and Essendon is the two that are in a precarious position. But then who comes in? I mean, Hawthorn won 11 games last year.
Good chance.
And are heading in the right way. Port Adelaide, you just spoke about them, 11 games. Adelaide, will they be better under a new coach?
They'll be better, but they won't get in.
You don't think so? See, I tend to disagree. I reckon that Adelaide will become one of the teams that will fight out for a spot in the eight, and I reckon they can fight out high up too. North Melbourne, do they stay? You know, 10 games, they need to win a couple more to get in. Frio, I don't see Frio going anywhere. St Kilda, you've already said they'll rise. Sydney, I don't know that they'll
get there, but not going to have them in because I can't fit them all in.
Carlton?
No.
And then you got Melbourne. Can they improve on
their
five wins?
Yes.
And then Gold Coast, you think that they'll go better?
They will. I think it's going to be a season where if you get to that 12 or 13, there'll be a big group. There'll be Richmond, in my opinion, out the front. And then outside of that, it'll be 12, 13, maybe 14 wins will get you into second position this year. Let's go to Donnie from Spearwood. How are you, Donnie?
Good evening, boys. I'm well, thank you. A man who doesn't drink or smoke is always well. You know how it is.
Good to hear. Fire away.
Listen, they've got 2 points. Before I get on to Sexton, the man cat, no problem. As Carl said, you want a backup, you want a cheer, you deserve, everything comes your way. Simple as that. No ifs or buts. Too bad. So sad. Get out. Second point. Sexton, if he wasn't best man in the field against the Dockers last year, I'm monkey's uncle. And he got ripped off, not getting 3 votes. That's the reason why Fifey won the second Brownlow.
He won by more than one vote, didn't he, Fifey?
Big button?
Did he win by more than one vote or only one vote, Nathan Fife? to Dangerfield. I think Dangerfield came home late. But you think Sexton is a good player, and do you think he can get around 50 to 60 goals in a good side of Gold Coast?
He's a good player. I mean, but on that game against the Gold Coast, it was best of field, and he didn't get three votes.
Fair enough. Good on you, Donny. I think we've all got our opinions on who's best and who's not, and that's fine. But in the end, Nathan Fyfe has already won that award, and we can argue that till the cows come home. What we do know is Australia have kept their World Cup dream alive, being played here on home soil. Match was completed just a short time ago. I've had a crack in the dig at the time of day it was played today. I just can't believe that it's not being played right now so that we could get down there and go and have a look at it and finish your day's work and take the kids along and do it on a Monday night. Well, we'll have a chat to Rachel Haynes, who was in a great partnership with Meg Lanning, and that helped us chase down the 6 for 122 that Sri Lanka posted to win with 4 balls to spare by 5 wickets. She'll join us next year on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals. And Lottery West. Celebrate like you've scored a century. Oz Lotto. Get amongst it this Tuesday. Play responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Nice to have your company here on Sports Day, and it's great to have Rachel Haynes on the radio. They've got the job done, our girls. Look like that they were under a fair bit of pressure, and Sri Lanka making 6 for 122, and... the girls getting home with 5 wickets with only 4 balls to spare, and Rachel Haynes had a great partnership with Meg Lanning, which was really the catalyst. Welcome, Rach. How are you?
Thank you. No, very well, thanks. Nice to get that first win out of the way.
Yeah, we got the job done, but it probably was a lot closer than what you would have liked.
Yeah, look, it's not ideal finishing a game in the last over, but, by the same token, I guess it was good to get our first win on the board, and hopefully we can carry that momentum through the rest of the tournament.
Congrats on your performance. How are the girls feeling? Are they feeling the pressure of hosting the World Cup?
To be honest, it's actually been really cool to be part of. And look, today didn't go perfectly for us, but hopefully, it showed a little bit of our character, and to be able to get over the line, and perhaps for it not to be perfect. World Cup cricket is a little bit different to playing series. You've got to win, and so there's pressure on every game. So it was really nice to get over the line today.
What did you make of the bowling performance? They were cruising along at 3 for 91 off 13.6, but they ended up getting to 122. So you did a really good job to restrict them, which in the end become important. And Strano, very impressive, 2 for 23, and good to see Nicola Carey amongst the wickets too. She took 2 for 18.
Yeah, look, I think our bowlers did an exceptional job to pull them back, and obviously getting Attapattu when we did was a really key moment in the game. I think it was good that they came together. Someone like Molly Strano, to be able to come in when she has, for a replacement and do the job that she did today was terrific.
Thank God Sri Lanka's fielding was poor, but then your fielding wasn't as probably good as what you'd like either, Rach.
Yeah, look, I think perhaps we haven't been as sharp as we would have liked. There's been some really good things that we've done, but there's also been some stuff that's been a little bit untidy. So, hopefully we can correct that heading into our game against Bangladesh.
When you have a look at the way that the results have gone, South Africa sending a statement with their win over over England a couple of days ago.
Yeah, I thought that game last night was a really good game of cricket, to be honest. And we played South Africa in a warm-up match before this tournament, and they certainly pushed us as well, and we know that they're a really dangerous side. They've got a very good bowling attack and some really aggressive batters as well. So, I think they're going to go really deep into this tournament. And who knows, hopefully if we do the same, potentially there could be some crossover there heading to semi-finals and those sorts of things.
And what do you make of India, given that they rolled you to open the World Cup? They beat you by 17 runs over there at the Sydney Showgrounds. They're about to go into battle against Bangladesh here at the Wacker Ground.
Yeah, they're playing straight after us, actually, and they're a really dangerous side. They've got some X-factor players in there as well. Harmanpreet Kaur, their captain, and Smriti Mandhana as well, the top of the order. So, look, we learned firsthand the other night that they're pretty formidable on their day. So, I've got no doubt that, obviously, they'll probably look to carry on their momentum as well.
We're speaking to Rachel Haynes here on Sports Day, and thankfully she made 60 off 47 before she was stumped dancing down the wicket trying to belt the winning runs. Now, the next team you play is Bangladesh. Do you stick around and you watch, given that you are taking them on in the next match?
Yeah, well, I think a few of the girls might have a look at the game. It's also obviously televised as well, so we'll be able to watch it on TV. But yeah, we'll keep a close eye on it because we play Bangladesh next down in Canberra.
Well done tonight. Good work. Thanks very much for joining us.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Rachel Haynes, strike rate of 127.66. Great level of this game. Alyssa Healy was the only one that did anything against India with the bat. She made 50. She got a duck. In fact, our girls were 3 for 10 when Meg Lanning and Rachel Haynes thankfully were able to compile a very, very nice partnership of 95 it was for that fourth wicket partnership to get the Australians back on track. 922-1882 is a number if you'd like to play the Auto Masters quiz. We've got a $150 Auto Masters voucher to give away, and we'll go to your calls after this.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season on now with match-winning deals. And Lottery West. Celebrate like you've scored a century. Oz Lotto. Get amongst it this Tuesday. Play responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Now, Tom of Bassendean is going to be first to have a go at the Auto Masters quiz. The prize, a $150 Auto Masters voucher. He's got 5 questions that he's got to get through. Great service guaranteed at Auto Masters. You call 1-300-AUTO-MASTERS. Paul Hazelby is the quiz master. He'll ask the questions and we'll see whether he can get them right. If he can't, then we'll go to Gary, who's first in the queue, and you can join 922-1882. Or if you'd like to talk about something else in sport, you're more than welcome to give us a buzz between now and 7, and we look forward to having a talk to you. Hayes.
Question number 1. Name 3 Australian golfers who have won a major. Name 3 Australian golfers who have won a major. Tom, do you have the answer for us?
Robert Allenby.
Correct.
Adam Scott. And correct. Greg Norman.
Greg Norman. Robert Allenby, did he win one?
I was going to say, no, he didn't win one. He's not on the
list. Can you give me another one?
Nick Appleby. Ogilvy.
It's not Nick.
What's his name?
Robert Ogilvy? No.
That's Allenby.
Can be female. Last chance.
Carrie Webb.
Correct. We'll pay that one. Generous tonight.
Okay, switch and save your next Auto Masters service with over 40 branches. You call 1-300-AUTO-MASTERS. Hayes.
Question number 2. Which waffle club was last year's premiership hero, Marlon Pickett, recruited from?
Subiaco.
Ooh, incorrect. No. We can't give that one to you. So we're going to have to go to Gary in Thornley. How are you, Gary?
Yeah, good day. Thanks. Good, thanks, boys. I'd say the Bulldogs, South Mantle.
That is correct. Well done to you, Gary. Question number 3. Great service guaranteed. Call 1-300-AUTO-MASTERS. How many West Coast Eagles players have won a Brownlow and named them?
I would say Prittis and Cousins. So it goes 2.
Oh! Ooh, incorrect.
Come
sorry,
on.
Gary, we're going to have to go to Chris in Dianella.
922-1182, because we want you to join in. There's 5 questions. We're only at question 3, Hayes.
Far away, Chris. Do you have the answer? How many West Coast Eagles players have won a Brownlow, and who are they?
3.
How many? Who are they?
Curtis, Cousins, Judd.
Oh, he missed Chris
baby.
Judd.
Yes.
Oh, the Juddster. What a player
Chris,
he was.
I reckon Chris is going to bring home here.
I'm
switch
a Carlton
and save.
Man, so he won one at Carlton too.
Yeah. Switch and save in your next Auto Masters service with over 40 branches. Call 1-300-AUTO-MASTERS. Hayes, what's question 4?
Question 4. Who won this year's Belinda Clark medal?
It's for the fairest and best in women's cricket, if you don't know.
Yeah. Yep, I know. And
yep. She was playing tonight.
All 3 formats?
Very good player.
I'm going to say Perry, because I can't think of the other name.
Yeah, baby. We'll pay that. Elise Perry right came up, in, got it done it today.
Bring it home. Here we go.
He's a Question five. Who was named captain of the Melbourne Football Club today?
That has to be the ruckman.
And?
Give us more detail.
Trying to think of his name, and I've lost it.
Come on.
You better tell us who you're going to be.
I'm going to get
it. Hayes is waiting to spit this out.
What's his name with the beard? Oh,
yeah, three, two, one. Beep! Unlucky. Who is next? Close, Chris.
You're really close.
It's been in the news all day.
Yeah, I know.
Big ruckman, big beard.
Big beard. Yeah.
There was a word I wanted to use there, but give it away for the next caller.
Right, well, so Automasters, $150 voucher, and 922-9882 if you know the answer. We'll clear the break, and on the other side, hopefully, we can give it away here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. Kia's open season. On now with match-winning deals. And Lottery West. Celebrate like you've scored a century. Oslotto. Get amongst it this Tuesday. Play responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Now, what have you done, Quizmaster, during the break?
Well, you got to earn it. And I just feel the next caller's not going to earn it. So we've added three more questions to it.
Here we go again.
John, Adrian, Simon,
you're in the queue.
It's going to be John.
Ring up and say...
Now, this is a harsh quiz. You've got to earn it. So let's start with John from Rockingham. The question was, who was named captain of Melbourne today? The answer is, John?
Max Gawn.
Correct. That is the first one. All right, let's go to question number two of the new quiz. Who pulled out of the State of Origin game today, who is going to be replaced by Andrew Gaff? Plays for North Melbourne.
Midfielder, plenty of grunt.
Inside
tackles,
ball.
Tackles a lot.
Not much hair.
No.
All right, time's up there for John. Let's go to Adrian in Sorrento. How are you, Adrian?
Good. How are you, boys?
Good. Who pulled out of the State of Origin game today, replaced by Andrew Gaff?
Cunnington.
Ben Cunnington is correct. Well done. Two to go.
Now, Carl's dropped off, by the way, so Simon, you're next. 922-982 if you'd like to join us. Hayes' quiz for Automasters.
Which country is playing against India tonight at the Wacca Ground?
Gets underway at 7 o'clock.
Australia?
No, Australia's already played. I'll give you a clue. They are in the same pool as Australia and are Australia's next opponents.
Sri Lanka?
No,
they just played Sri Lanka.
Good to see he was listening earlier.
Let's go to Simon in Caversham. How are you, Simon? Oh, Simon wasn't confident of answering that question. The phone lines are free. Get involved. Now is your time. Two to go.
Righto, 922-982. While people are calling through, just to have a look at a few of the bits and pieces that have happened today, and we'll have a chat to Cam Green. He made 105 not out for WA today in the Sheffield Shield match against Tasmania, 6 for 291. I mean, the great part about Cam Green is that he's able to go on and continually post some big scores. In the other games, New South Wales, 7 for 294 against South Australia, and Queensland, Victoria against Queensland, 9 for 303. 13. Short time ago, Australia defeated Sri Lanka. They won the toss to the Sri Lankans. They decided to bat. They posted 6 for 122. Our girls ran down the score with only four bowls to spare, winning by 5 wickets. Ben Cunnington has been replaced by Andrew Gaff. We just had that question answered correctly. In the State of Origin, and Madison Inglis won the Perth International over the weekend. She was the number one seed, and she got the job done. And recapping what happened at the Perth Motorplex, if you were down there, you were one of the 9,000 to 10,000 people it turned out. It was a fantastic crowd. James McFadden won World Series Sprint Cars. It was a thrilling finale too. He won on the line by 0.09 of a second. Unbelievable finish to the feature race over 35 laps. So awesome weekend, and thank you to the Perth public for turning out and taking a look at it on the weekend.
All right, back to the quiz. Scott from Henley Brook. How are you, Scott?
Yeah, good, thanks, boys.
Okay, do you know which country are playing India tonight at the Wacha Ground?
Yeah, I think it's Bangladesh.
That is correct. Okay, here it is. We've got Shane and Tony waiting. They're next. The series score in the series between Australia and South Africa right now. What is it?
T20.
One each.
One each. There it is. Well done, Scott. You have been crowned the Auto Masters quiz winner. $150 Auto Masters voucher is coming your way. That's how easy it is. You can be in line and then can change. But if you're strong like Scott was, you can get it done and win the voucher. Well done, Scott.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening, mate. I'll tell you what, you know, people aren't going to start ringing at the start of this quiz if you keep on making it 15 questions.
Got to keep them guessing.
They'll just start to ring up at the end of the quiz so that they can nail it. But very good tonight. At least you got the job done.
What did you make of the Tribunal news tonight, Carl? Marley Williams from North Melbourne. Two-match ban. Careless, high contact.
Well, he poleaxed Ed Richards.
He certainly did.
Poor Ed had to go from the field, and you're always going to be in trouble when you perform an action like that, so not surprised.
Do you feel like they're going to crack down on a bit more this year, given what we've been through with all the concussion? But I think they might go again. Any head contact is going to put you in trouble and make you vulnerable. Matt Crouch, though, he got off his
charge. His wasn't that bad. I reckon he had his elbow tucked in, and because he jumped in the air, his elbow came up afterwards, so he didn't make any contact with the elbow, even though the contact was probably high. And thankfully, it's an outcome-based business. Yep. So if you're like Marley Williams and you do damage and Ed Richards comes from the field and needs treatment, then you're always going to be in a far, far worse place than if the player gets up, plays on, has no effects, doesn't need a concussion test, and all of those sorts of situations. And a doctor's report will also go, I think, a long way to whether you're guilty or you're proven not, Hayes.
$2,000 for rough conduct for Matt Crouch. And Dane Zorko, he copped $4,000, the biggest fine there, for pushing Kane Farrell into the trainer. Did you see that one, Carl? He actually pushed him and he collected the trainer. Female trainer got him absolute in the shoulder. She was okay, but $4,000, the AFL don't want anything that can be dangerous around the fence line. So they were the outcomes today.
Now, Darren was listening to us from Singapore, and he says, boys, I thought the State of Origin was only going to feature three players from each club. GWS and Richmond have six. Freo have, of course, only a couple. West Coast now have one extra with Gaff coming in, and five from Collingwood. What happened to the three per team? What happened to the State of Origin? From what I see, that it isn't that, says Darren from over there in Singapore.
Well, it's never been State of Origin. It was against the All-Stars. It would have been better if it was State of Origin, but I think the AFL not quite ready to play the two games, which probably would have been required for this bushfire relief game. But in terms of the players, well, the best thing was it was the coaches from either side, John Longmire and also Damien Hardwick. They got together and said, bugger this, we want the very best players playing. And I think that's a real positive for the survival of this concept. If it is to go forward, I think you need buy-in from everybody, not just the players. I think the buy-in is there from players. It could work in the future in some format, whether it be annually or biannually. I'm not quite sure. You need the clubs on board, and I think that was a real positive. And then thirdly, you need the AFL. Well, maybe firstly, what you do need is the broadcasters on board. And I think this is going to tell a tale on Friday night to see how many people will tune into this, how many people turn up. It's only going to be at Marvel, so they should feel that. If they don't feel that, then I think we forget about the concept altogether. Though, if it was State of Origin, I think more people would probably be in attendance. But I can't wait for it, Carl. I think the very best. And there's all these arguments about injuries and whatnot, but so many players played over the weekend. There were some injuries. There were some players that got through. Each player is likely to play two lead-up games before round one. Why not be in an AFL State of Origin match?
The Bangladesh national anthem is being sung currently down there at the Wacha Ground with hands on heart. They are singing the tune, the players and the fans that are in the grandstand, and there's quite a few of them there, although it's a pretty tight shot. Be interested to see how many is the final outcome. But it was, I think, $30 for a category ticket tonight to go along to the Wacha Ground to watch the cricket and the doubleheader, Hayes, and it was $20 for a category B. Now, it's a bit of a shame, as I did say at the top of the program, that the Aussies aren't playing at this time of night, because it would have been a wonderful opportunity, I think, for those of us that want to get behind our Australian girls and support them on without having to be at work and the kids at school and worry about all those other bits and pieces as to why those matches aren't or weren't swung around the other way if they want to get people going through the turnstiles.
Well, they did break the record for a women's match over there in the first game against India, played in New South Wales. So that was a positive result. But people are our first dig was about the AFLW and why it does get so much attention, because it warrants attention because not only of the attendances right now, I know it's free, but people are still going along. They had another 6,000 down there at the Fremantle game. They had 7,000 on the Gold Coast. They had 35,000 that turned up, and the numbers on TV, I'm led to believe, are pretty good and warrant a pretty good broadcast rights deal going forward. So that's why we are talking about AFLW and any sport. It comes down to how many people want to talk about it, how many people want to go, and how many people want to watch it. And right now, the AFLW is holding its own with a number of other sports.
You'd be interested to hear what Sam Lane's got to say about that, Hayes, because she writes the boundary for Channel 7. She'll be joining us after 7 tonight. And straight out of the 7 o'clock news, which is fast approaching, Dale Amos will join us from the Carlton Footy Club. Hayes, just ahead of the news?
Yeah, there's some high-scoring games too. I think that was the most important part about the AFLW, that they are improving. And a lot of girls are kicking bags of goals. Ponta, she kicked 4 goals. Georgia G, 3 goals. Clinda Howell, 3 goals. Rebecca Privatelli for the Giants, 3 goals. Ashmore and Carney in that game both kicked 3 as well. And the numbers have been pretty good. Jamie Lambert especially with 32. So I think that's a real positive sign for the AFLW.
All right. We'll have a chat, as I said, to Sam Lyon about that. We'll also be joined by Cameron Green. He is, of course, at the moment down in Tassie, and they did really well in the end, thanks to him, after he posted 105 not out. Welcome back to Sports Day here on R82.6BR for Barra and O'Day, our sports update. Barra and O'Day, because the little things are everything, and the Marsh Community Series will be played out down in Mandurah between Freo and Carlton, and it's nice to have Blues assistant coach Shindale Amos joining us here on the program. Welcome, Dale. How are you, buddy?
And boys, I'm going well. Thank you.
Now, nice finish by the Blues. Are we going to see a start similar to the finish in 2019? Because things certainly changed once the new coach, David Teague, took over. It was amazing.
Yeah, look, we're certainly hoping so, that the impetus that we gained through the back half of the year is able to carry on. And it was really positive for our players, I think, to be able to build that into the back half of the season, which carried us into the pre-season. And form in terms of on the track and the way the boys have prepared has been first class. So I think it provided a bit of a springboard for us, and hopefully that can continue, when particularly against Freo on Saturday.
What do you think David Teague's strengths and are going to set him apart from all the other coaches, hopefully, if he is successful in the future?
Yeah, look, I think Teague has been pretty authentic when he's come in. He hasn't really changed. He still sits at the same desk he did when he was an assistant coach, which gives you a bit of an insight into who he is. And he's really empowered the players to be able to own a lot of what's happened. And I think a lot of coaches say that, but he's done that. And he's done that for us as assistant coaches as well. He's really entrusted us to be able to do our jobs. And there's a few non-negotiables about the way we go about our business, but overall, I think with everyone, and it's been really enlightening for the players, is to be able to, trust them to be able to do what they're there to do.
A few clubs, they opted for an extra hit out. You did that last week. You took on Collingwood. I think you played 5 quarters. It was the longest game in the history of the AFL, and you ended up flogging them. What were some of the highlights from your first hit out?
Yeah, we had 6 periods, and look, it was really interesting because we played about 40 players, and I think they played about 27. So, the first part of the game was really pleasing for us. We had a big portion of our list available and played quite well. They had a more sort of mixed group in terms of some experience. Pendlebury and Treloar and Adams, those types of players played, but they had a few players missing as well. So, it was good for us to be able to implement a few things that we've worked on really hard over the off season. Just to see how they held up and do it against some different opposition. You see the same sort of looks at match play in training against yourselves. So I think the boys really enjoyed being able to get out there and try some things against different opposition.
My concern for the Blues this year is the forward line. I think the midfield's improving all the time. I like the defence, but Charlie Curnow, Harry Mackay, Mitch McGovern, can you give us an update on those three? Because I think they're quite critical.
Yeah, that they are, and they're starting to form they certainly were starting to form a quite a potent group up there. That Charlie's obviously a fair way off. He's progressing nicely, but he won't play until closer to the midpoint of the season. But both Mitch and Harry are progressing nicely back in training. Not sure whether either of them will make the trip to West to play on Saturday, but they're certainly progressing nicely, and both be in the frame for round one. Mitch in particular, who's looking great on the track.
Now, I'm just having a look at your young blokes, and there's a good group between 18 and 22, and they include Dow and Setterfield and Kennedy, and Sam Walsh was unbelievable in his first season in AFL, and if he continues to progress in that way, he will become an out-and-out star. But that group of players are going to be the players that have to take you forward, because you can't be relying on the likes of Murphy and Kurnow, who are magnificent in the back end once they were thrust back into the limelight, but it's the young blokes that are going to have to take you forward.
Yeah, it's a great assessment, I think, of our list. Yeah, the Murphys and Simpsons and Cruisers are going to turn up, and they're going to play well most weeks. You would think they've done it over a long period of time. And we've got a small group probably that have consolidated and playing consistent AFL footy in, you know, Cripps, and we get Doherty back now. Those Plowman, those types of guys who are sort of established themselves now as AFL players. But that's where our growth is. Those guys that have played some good footy, probably haven't played a lot of footy, and now we need them to be consistently good week in, week out, and they'll determine a fair bit of our season, I think, in terms of how successful we are. Those other guys will get it done, and it's just a matter of how much those guys can improve. But certainly over the pre-season, the signs have been really positive, and those guys have all been able to string really a lot of work together, which has got them in good shape, ready for the start of the season.
A couple of those that fit into this bracket are Petrevsky, Seaton and Fisher, two WA boys. Can you just give us a little bit of their progress this pre-season?
Yeah, I think Zach spent a bit more time as a forward in the back half of last year, and he was able to perform a really important role for us down there. He'll start to drift back up through the midfield again and spend a bit more time there. His fitness has improved, and he's been a real shining light through the preseason. He's certainly shown some really good signs that he's going to make a big step forward this year. And Samo had the adjustment of role last year. It went from being a sort of mid-half forward, a little bit of wing, to playing at half-back, and we're really excited about what he's capable of being able to do there. He spent a lot of the preseason playing at half-back. He's got some great mentors to learn off, particularly in Doherty and Simpson, and he's looking to add to his game. I guess hopefully a bit like we've done with Liam Jones, another player who's been able to go from the front half to the back half, and he's worked really hard on his game and in good shape for the start of the season.
We're speaking to Dale Amos, a Carlton Football Club assistant coach, and Blue Baggers, it's time for you to stand up and make a difference. I'll tell you how you can do that in a moment, Hayes.
Sam Doherty, he made his return and got through. That's going to be a real positive if you can get 22 games out of him, maybe more.
Yeah, look. There's no doubt that the footy's been the lesser for Sam not playing the last 2 years. He was all Australian before he did his knee the first time, and then unfortunately did it again the second time. But he had a really solid build-up early in the pre-season. Then he went and spent some time with Bill Knowles, who's renowned in terms of his knee specialist work in the States, and he came back really confident off the back of that. And look, his pre-season's gone from strength to strength. He's in great shape. I think the footy, he's going to take a little bit to really ease into it. He played quite well against Collingwood last week, but given that he hasn't played for 2 years, you'd expect that he'll get better as the year goes on. So his leadership, particularly on field, his poise and composure and ability to be able to help direct players is a significant factor, and something we definitely haven't had the last 2 years in his absence. So he provides a lot more for us than what he does just in terms of his own physical feats on the field.
You won 7 games in 2019. What's acceptable in 2020 from your point of view?
Oh, everyone's looking for numbers and finals and those sort of statistics for this time of year. Look, we want to build on what we did in the back half of the year. I think we want to become a more consistent footy club. We want to be more competitive in more games. We showed we can compete well with some sides who played in finals in the back half of the year. We're able to win against reasonable sides, but we need to start to win against some good teams to give ourselves a chance. So very much about improvement and consistency for us. And like you said before, Carl, the growth for us will come in those guys that have been in the system for a few years, and we're looking for great consistency from them to help to propel us forward.
Well, give me a number this time. How many goals is Eddie Betts going to kick back in a Blues jumper, and how many jumpers is the club going to sell of Eddie Betts's?
Well, I'll certainly sell more jumpers than he does kick goals, but he's been phenomenal in terms of his leadership as well. Kicked a couple the other night against Collingwood. Look, if we get a couple of games. That'd be a great result out of Eddie. But again, his value, a bit like Sam, is probably extends far beyond that. You know, it's the ability to be able to give that forward line group, which is quite inexperienced, a lot of confidence and have some leadership down there. And it's also his role as a leader within the footy club has been significant. We've already seen the value of that, you know, not just with the Indigenous boys, with the other small forwards in the front half. So, you know, Eddie's been an enormous asset already before he's even played a game.
Dale, one thing that surprises us over here in the West is the board challenges over there with the Eastern States clubs, and your club's been going through it lately. Tonight, the board challenge has failed. Does it have any effect on the playing group?
I don't think so. I think the footy club, internally anyway, has been really stable. Obviously, had the coach change last year, but I think any time you're starved of some success, those things are, you know, the potential to happen. But, you know, the playing group are really clear, you know, the CEO, the board, footy department, you know, a new senior coach that we're backing in that we think is the right man for the job. So, no, I think internally everything's really solid. And like I said, our pre-season's indicated that everyone's pulling in the same direction.
What sort of team are you bringing out West for the weekend against Freo?
Look, you only have the two hit out, so it's going to be, you kind of have to play, you know, a pretty decent side. We've got a few guys that are probably on the verge of being back in full match play. So a couple of those guys won't make the trip, just in terms of the long term. But we'll have a pretty decent unit to front up this week against Freo. We want to, you know, we're in a position where we need to play as well as we can, as early as we can. So, you know, having a group that can play together and to play as much footy as they can together early is really important for us. So, no, we'll be bringing a pretty decent unit over to play Freo. You know, it'll be interesting to see what happens with a new coach and a new look lineup.
Thanks for the chat.
Thanks, boys. Really appreciate it.
Dale Amos, Carlton Footy Club Assistant Coach. Now, Blues members, head to carltonfc.com.au right now to be part of the Blues resurgence, because I think we can feel it in the water that they might be able to climb. Hayes, what
do you think? I was bullish early until they got those injuries. They need to get a bit out of McGovern this year, but I think he will be improved. And Harry Mackay, the other one, but not good news on Charlie Kerner. He'll be out until the mid-season bye, you'd think. So that's held me back from actually pushing this team towards final. Maybe inside the eight, but there will be improvement from an average losing margin point of view this year.
Righto. In the absence of our friend Michelle Cowan, she's crook, and we found a very, very capable replacement. Her name is Sam Lane, and she will talk about the weekend's results and the issues that came out of that here. Welcome back to Sports Day, and you can boost your sales with the Australian-made logo. And as we forecast just prior to the break, we were going to have a yak about AFLW and what the weekend unfolded, what it meant, and it's great to have Channel 7 boundary rider for the AFLW. Her name is Samantha Lane. She joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome, Sam.
It's great to talk to you, Paul and Carl. Thank you.
Now, I watched the West Coast Eagles game on the weekend and I was in pain watching. Unfortunately, the Eagles girls just aren't quite yet up to scratch and they got beaten quite badly against Greater Western Sydney on the weekend.
Gosh, did you think they were going to get a goal? Because they only got two in the end. They were both in the last quarter. Look, are you surprised, though, you know, in a competition that's now entering its fourth season and this team is entering as a newbie? Personally, I reckon these teams that have come in, and there are four of them, I reckon if they get one win all season, it's almost success. What do you think?
Well, I tend to agree, but the Gold Coast Suns, they're going very well. They're a new expansion team, and so far they've got a win and a really good draw against Brisbane. That was an exciting one on the weekend too.
Yep, and what they were four goals apiece, and I don't know, again, I'm just going to throw it out there. We had a draw in AFLW. I reckon in these compacted seasons that we've got, where it's a home and away season of 8 weeks, then finals, I reckon we need to have results here, guys, like in these games, so that there's no draw. I know we've debated it in the men's comp. I reckon in AFLW, we need a result every time they run out there.
Yep, I love that idea. I think the AFLW have that opportunity or the scope to do things different. So that's why we get you on the show, Sam. A big call off the top. Now, I want to ask your opinion on who you think the team to beat is right now. We saw Fremantle get up and we're bullish over here, but Collingwood, gee, they were good. And there's a few other teams that are on two wins at the moment, like the Kangaroos, who look dangerous.
Yep, indeed. And I think Collingwood's form's really encouraging, and we know that they've had a change of coach. It just seems that some things are really coming together. Everyone's raving about Jamie Lambert, Shani Layton's really coming on, and that's great to see. But for me, I still reckon Adelaide is... When Adelaide is good, Adelaide is really, really good. And we saw them turn up at Geelong yesterday. They knocked off the Cats in a close one. I also really liked, until last weekend, Melbourne. I think when Daisy Pierce is able to be playing in defence the way that they've moved her to that position, and she's become that general, the way that, you know, we saw Luke Hodge kind of revolutionise things for the Hawks those few years ago. I think Melbourne are really strong, but then they turned up at Moorabbin and just had a really bad day at the office. So, yeah, for me, I've still got faith in Melbourne, even though they dropped that one. I think Adelaide, they're already dual premiers. They don't have Aaron Phillips. They don't have Chelsea Randall in there, but they're still winning games. And Freo, you're right. Like, I don't know what you think their biggest improvement is, and you've probably watched them more closely than me for the first 3 weeks in totality. But to me, they just look a more organised team, like they understand better what they're doing. And of course, they're now 4 years in, they're fitter as well. And it's just that link-up play that we're seeing more, isn't it? Like more organisation, and it's kind of no surprise when you see that unfold, as I say, going into year four.
I think that the good part about Freo, Sam, and look, I got to call the game Freo and West Coast, where they just dominated right from the start. It's a play-on-at-all-costs attitude, and look, I see it from their half-back line, where they've got some really, I think, talented and skillful players, and I think that's really important here, is that if you can get your skills right and you can transition the ball with clean play, which is what Freo have been able to do so far this season, and go forward at all costs. They probably haven't been as efficient inside 50 as what they'd like, but they are creating many opportunities, and when you're getting it in there as often as they do, they're going to be more chance of winning than not.
Yep, agree with you on all of that.
Hey, Sam, with the increase in the growth of the AFLW competition, so does the media profile and the stories that are written about the girls. And we've seen a few examples of that in recent weeks. Taylor Harris, she bounced back from the comments about her being useless at ground level last week. 13 disposals, kicked a goal. And Katie Brennan, she was scrutinised in the Herald Sun by Mark Robinson quite heavily too. And she bounced back as well. But how do you feel about the added scrutiny placed on the girls?
Yeah, well, let's break those down. The first one with Taylor Harris, I mean, I don't know if we would have seen this in the men's scenario, where actually it was a rival player saying she's useless at ground level, using that word. I think, I don't know if Stacey Livingston would have put that back in her mouth if she had the opportunity. And I'd kind of like to think that she would, because there was something a bit disrespectful, I think, about speaking that way. But one thing we know about Taylor Harris, she's done it before. I reckon it's that boxing mentality that runs through her veins, as well as being a sporting passion. If you bring pressure on Taylor Harris, it's almost like it sharpens that competitive beast inside her, and she just lifts and she focuses. And we saw what she did on the weekend. She had a terrific game, and she was terrific in the air and on the ground. So look, we'll put that to one side, because that was actually a fellow AFLW player that brought that scrutiny upon Taylor, and I think Taylor responded really well. As for the question of how we in the media are talking about and scrutinising and analysing players in the AFLW, the way that Mark Robinson wrote about it, I welcome the focus. I welcome the run that it got, because let's face it, like, we've got sort of practice games going on in the men's right now. This is the time that AFLW has its free air. So I want to see it in the Herald Sun. I want to see it in News Limited. And I love that some of the biggest journos in the game are talking about it and writing about it and covering it that way. What I would question is it right to analyse an AFLW player, any AFLW player, the way we might analyse Nat Fyfe? You know, Nat Fyfe has been in the game however many years. The competition has gone that long, and he, from the time that he's picked up a football, has been coached, honed his skills, been a professional athlete without a question. What we have here is a group of semi-professionals, and some even argue that given the time that they're allowed to even train, that the term of semi-professional is generous. And I feel that in this case with Katie Brennan, she was scrutinised in a media setting by a top journo in a way that that top journo, being Robbo, would scrutinise a man at the top of a man in the AFL, you know. And I'm not quite sure whether that is balanced when Katie Brennan's played under 25 games in total. And I guess I'd ask you if we were looking at, you know, Marlon Pickett in his first game or first season of Richmond playing last year, would we have had that scrutiny on a young guy that's come into the team and accrued, you know, honestly, like just over 20 games?
It's a great discussion to have. We'll ask our audience on 922-1882. Hopefully they'll participate. Good on you, Sam. We really do appreciate you having a chat to us here on Sports Day tonight.
It's great to talk to you. Thanks.
Sam Lane, and it's Kia's open season. Of course, Sam is on Channel 7, riding the boundary for the AFLW. She knows her stuff, that's for sure. Match-winning deals you'll find at Kia, and Australia's best 7-year warranty right across the range. More of Sports Day after. Welcome back to Sports Day, Macca's Summer of Sport update. Macca's mini games are here. You can play and win every time. Nice to have Cam Green on the program after another century today. WA, as we've talked about in our first hour at Stumps, 6 for 291. Well done, Greeny. How are you, mate?
Yeah, really good. Thanks for having me again.
You've been able to convert another big score. I mean, this is something that's become a bit habitual for you and something that you should be pretty proud of.
Yeah, not too sure what's happening, to be honest. But yeah, lucky enough, kind of seems when I get to 50, I tend to be able to go on. Yeah, not too sure what I'm doing, but I ride the wave while I was going.
It's not just luck for me. I think you've got a very good temperament, very good technique. And the thing that I love about you, Cam, is every century you've made is when the team really needs it. Backs against the wall. And again today, some early trouble, and you came in a good partnership with Sam Whiteman.
Yeah. Well, Whitey was awesome today. I reckon I got my first 20 off about 60 or 70 balls, but he was smacking them at the other end. So to be batting with him... was obviously really good, and I'm just so happy he's come back and had some success.
On the back of last week, the run rate was very poor against South Australia. Was there any comment made by Adam Voges? And you said you took a bit of time to get in, but if you do take time, there has to be some point where you do pick up the run rate, if possible.
Yeah. No, there was no plan last week versus Adelaide. I think they just bowled really well. Just gave us nothing, really, so... there's no real change in plan for this game. I think, yeah, again, like Tasmania bowled really well at the start. He just had to weather the storm. And luckily, yeah, Flip, me and Whitey did.
What was going through your mind when you were walking out of the crease with a score at 3 for 43?
Yeah, it was kind of just working with your partner. Not much was going through my mind, to be honest. I've got a bit of confidence in my game at the moment. And I felt like, yeah, if we just toughed it out, it's going to be really tough early, but we knew it was going to get better late in the day when it started to heat up. So, yeah, not too much was going through my mind, to be honest.
Does Adam Voges at that point give you any instructions before you go out to the crease? How does the coach work in that scenario?
No, he just kind of backs all the training you've been doing pre-game to help you in good stead. Couple of things. I just went up to V and asked him if I should bat in leg stump or middle to Rainbird, who was obviously swinging them heaps today. And he said, nah, back your own game plan in. You've been playing well enough facing him with a left-hander. So, yeah, basically said to trust your instincts and trust your own game.
Nice partnership that you put on, which Hayes spoke about, with Sam Whiteman, who you said was striking the ball well at one end. But it was Josh Phillippe that you formed a bigger partnership with once he got out.
Yeah, no, Flip was also really good. It's so good having him back in the WA setup and not wasting his runs over in Sydney. And I'm really happy to have him back. He looked really good today. So, I'm really happy for him.
Have you had a chat to Jake Carter about converting a few of those starts? Because as a youngster coming into the team, he's certainly getting some really good starts, but just falling before he goes on and hits the big 50 milestone.
Yeah, exactly right. Also, same with him. He's got a lot of confidence in his game. I think, in chill cricket, you just need that one big score to get you going. Unfortunately, he hasn't got that yet, but he's been looking really good around that. So, backing him. And if it's not this game, for the rest of the year, you'll get one, hopefully.
Now, mate, I've almost forgotten about the last time that you bowled. How are you tracking in that area of your game? Because you can bowl too.
Yeah, it's been a while. Had a good scan a couple of weeks ago, and so I'm walking off about one or two steps at the moment, and that'll be the same for another 2 to 3 months. No real end date to when I'll bowl. It's nice to start running the arm over at least.
Is it your intention, though, to get back out there and do what you were doing previously? Because you started off making a name for yourself in first-class cricket as a bowler.
Yeah. I don't know, it's kind of been a big whirlwind change over the course of the last 6 months. We'll wait and see. I got injured 4 years in a row now, so whether or not that's maybe if I play as a bat and then only bowled 10 overs in innings compared to 20 or 25, that might be the change we may make, but we'll wait and see when that comes.
Cameron, have you had any dialogue with Justin Lang or any of the national selectors about the future?
No, not at all. Just fully concentrating on playing for WA and winning games for WA as well. So, unfortunately, I haven't had a chat.
How did you enjoy the Big Bash season? Because to me, you look like a test player. There's no doubt about that. I think you will get there in time, and you were dominating. And then through the Big Bash, it was a bit difficult for you coming in at 4 and 5, and the order was moving around a bit. Is it something that you enjoyed, or would you much rather just keep playing Sheffield Shield to enhance your chances?
No, it was awesome fun. You get a couple of months to kind of break up the season when you start getting a bit bored of Sheffield Shield. It was a lot of fun. Got no regrets for it. Unfortunately, I probably didn't score as many as I would have liked. Coming in the back end was a bit tough. But I don't know. In the future, call me a good stud.
And how is Marcus Stoinis going? You're not playing in this game. Shoulder injury is my understanding. Do we expect him back soon?
Yeah, I actually wasn't too sure that he was actually injured. Hadn't heard anything within the group. He was bowling absolutely fine. I assume he just kept it away from us and was just the truth of that he normally is. So, expect him to be back by the next game.
Thank you, mate. Enjoy your sleep tonight. I'm sure you have a pretty good sleep
still
after
that. Still
got
work to do tomorrow,
Cole. Yeah, he's still not out. I know.
150, 200.
I know. He's 105. Just leave it with him. See you, Cam. We'll keep on talking. You go and have a rest. Cheers, mate.
Awesome. Thanks for the call again. Bye.
Cam Green, 105 not out, everyone, off 221 balls. Good on him. And Marcus Stoinis would have been playing for Australia A, same match as Josh Inglis. And that would have meant, too, that either Phillippe or Whiteman probably would have missed out. But that both contributed to the bat in his absence, both capable wicketkeepers. So there's competition for spots in the keeping department in West Australian cricket. Just in the other matches that have been played today. So WA just repeating 6 for 291 at stumps. Green, 105 not out. Whiteman, 53. Phillippe, 63. New South Wales taking on South Australia 7 for 294 at stumps. Daniel Hughes made 103 and Matt Jilks made 83. Joe Menny took 4 for 82 for South Australia. And Queensland against Victoria. Victoria 9 for 313. Matt Short made 98 and Seb Gotch will resume tomorrow at 90 not out. And Xavier Bartlett, best figures for the day of 5 for 85. So that is just a little bit of a look around at Sheffield Shield cricket for Maccas. Mini games are here. Play and win daily for food prizes only on the My Maccas app. We'll come back with William Rollo, who swam to Roto. Good on him. We'll talk about that next here on Sports. Welcome back to Sports Day. A nice little special treat here thanks to Crown Perth Sports Update. This summer we live a little larger at Crown. We saw many swimmers gather down at Cottesloe Beach for the almost 20-kilometre crossing to Rottnest, where they celebrate long into the night, or at least I hope they celebrated long into the night, particularly when you finish at the pointy end of the field, as this man did, William Rollo. He's 23 years of age. He came second in the solo swim and he joined us here on Sports Day. Welcome, Will.
G'day, fellas. How you going?
We're going all right. How long have you been swimming to Rottnest for?
Well, I've been swimming ever since, 2014 was my first crossing when I did it in a team. But this year was actually my first time doing the solo crossing.
When you look back at the race, are you a little bit disappointed given that you were leading at the 12-kilometre mark and then I understand you got a little bit wayward in the last 10 kilometres?
Yeah, I looked around at the 12-kilometre mark, at the 10-kilometre mark, and I had a bit of a gap on the field. And I was pretty confident because I have done a lot of work this year to get to that point and then be able to extend my lead. So, unfortunately, things didn't really play out the way I wanted them to. Had a few little mishaps where I need to just read the rules a bit more carefully for next year, but it's just those little experiences where Lars was able to capitalise and get the win, so hats off to him.
So who was the navigator? Did you have anyone in the boat trying to steer you maybe in a little bit more of a direct route, which is predominantly what Lars took to beat you?
Yeah. So I personally think my support crew was the best support crew in the whole field, but my skipper, Jim de Bonford, we're just having a good old time out there, and Lars must have just picked the cone a bit better on the day. Sometimes there's a bit of luck at the door as well, just timing the runs at the right time, and he just got away a little bit too far and got the win.
4:22.16, and obviously that is a sensational individual effort. You also, I think, set the record in the team event and a duo event last year with your brother Nick. He's a good swimmer too.
Yeah, absolutely. So my younger brother is actually on the Australian team for the 10-kilometre swim. So unfortunately, we lucked out with our genetics. We couldn't end up being sprinters. Our parents decided to stitch us up there, and we both ended up in the marathon and the ultramarathon swimming.
Given your recent records, you've won the duo, you've won the team event, you've now got a second. It means you've got to keep going. Has there been anyone that's completed all three?
Yeah, there is one guy. His name's Jared Netterpelt. He did it a while ago, I think in the early 2000s. His brother was an Olympian as well, so that's the goal. As a WA boy, I've sort of grown up around the Rottnest swim, and I'm confident that I have the ability to win the race. I just have to learn from this experience and ideally win it next year, and then I might go back to the duo and the team, try to go back to that.
I take my hat off to all you guys, particularly the solo swimmers that do this, and I know firsthand through a mate of mine how much work needs to go in, but can you tell our listeners how many hours you would do in the pool, in the river, in the ocean, in the lead-up to such a race?
Yeah, so, I'm probably in the more extreme case of the preparation. I like to make sure I've got all my bases covered when I go into an event like this. So I probably train around 51 or 50 weeks a year to race marathon swimming, and that varies. I swim about 20 hours a week, and most of that's in the pool, but sometimes I go down to, say, we're in a down during winter and practice swimming in cold water just so, got all bases covered on race day.
We're speaking to William Rollo, second in the solo effort on the weekend, swimming to Rottnest. Now, there's a open water all-star decider, which basically brings together about the fastest from different codes. You've got surf life-saving WA, you've got triathlon, you've got swimming, you've got water polo, all represented here. Now, I'd assume then, given that this is a sprinter's race, that you won't necessarily be overly competitive in this, or will you? Are you playing?
I am planning to compete. So, as you said, we're versing the other codes. There has been a little bit of a banter in between the codes. The likes of triathlon think they're pretty confident over this event. And when you say swimming, we actually have an open water team competing against a pool swimming team. So the pool swimmers are actually a little bit faster than us open water swimmers, but I'm pretty confident in my team that we can step up and protect our home ground and really put a good show on for the community and show that even though we can swim 20Ks, we're still pretty fast over 1,200 metres.
So where will it be? And it is, 1.25 kilometres. Where is the contest going to be held?
Yeah, so it'll be held on... it'll be held at Scarborough Beach on March 2nd, so the long weekend, the Monday.
and it's just going to be held right in front of the surf club down there. So it's a fantastic event. If you want to see what the best swimmers look like, I tell you what, you wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
Sounds like a good event. Now, when it's all said and done in your career, William, what is your goal from here? What do you want to achieve out of this sport? Are there any targeted races that you want to win across the world?
Yeah, absolutely. So with my sport, I think I might have just stepped into some dangerous territory, unfortunately. So at the moment, I'm targeting the marathon swimming, which is a 10-kilometre race. But obviously, Rottnest being 19.7, I just sort of opened the door to my coach for a whole new level of torture. Mm. So I think I might be stepping into those longer races. And if that happens, I'd like to go and represent Australia on the world level. So that would be at the World Championships next year, hopefully.
What about crossing the English Channel and stuff like that? Have you got any interest?
I mean, I do. But that's sort of a long-term bucket list item. I'm more into my competitive races at the moment. So, I mean, if someone challenges me to swim across the English Channel and it's a bit of a race, then I might be into it. But I don't really fancy just putting myself through 8 hours of 16-degree water for no reason.
No, dumb idea to me.
We prefer
it's a dumb idea just actually swimming over to Rottnest. I volunteered a boat, and this is a true story, Will, and I volunteered a boat with a solo swimmer, a 60-odd-year-old bloke from South Australia who was a visiting swimmer. Took him almost 10 hours, which is twice as long as you. Now,
yeah.
I mean, if you tend to do it to his age, inside his 60s, mate, it would be remarkable. I mean, it's not easy, as you would probably be able to attest to.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a feat, and that's what I've been saying all weekend. With a number of different people who have been asking that question, is the Rottnest Channel Swim is really the perfect event. It captures the essence of WA in one event, you know. We're so diverse and so driven by our sport that everyone can sort of come together on this one day and really enjoy all levels of abilities and just get over there, have a beer afterwards and just say congrats.
Yeah, beautiful part of the world, mate. Thank you very much for having a act to us. Well done again, and we'll have a chat to you at some point in the future, I'm sure. Thanks, William.
Yeah, thank you very much. I hope to talk to you after I win next year.
Good on you, mate. William Rollo there, and this summer Crown is the only destination where things are bigger, brighter and more fun. And I can hear that that man has bigger, brighter things in the future. There's no doubt about that. We'll have a chat to John Slavich next here on Sports Day, find out what happened in the wonderful world of lawn bowls. I know that his team had a big win, so he'll be gloating. Welcome back to Sports Day. We finish off with green to green for Barra and O'Day because the little things are everything. And after the disappointment of being rolled last week, John Slavich and his team have hit back hard. How are you, John?
Yeah, good, guys. It's great. We're back on the winners list, so it's fantastic for W.
Just tell me the results in the Men's Premier League in round 14.
Yep, like we just touched on, W took on Cambridge at the View and got away with a 12-shot victory and collected, more importantly, the 8 points. Something that was pretty cool, which I've never seen before. Three games were determined by one shot and they were all scored 19-18 on the three rinks, and one team got away to about a 7-shot win, which was great. South Perth took on Manning. That was close again with an 83-81, 6-2 victory to South Perth. Warmbra are struggling a bit, and Cardi fixed them up pretty good with an 88-54, 7-1 victory there. And North Beach weren't good enough, only went down by about 8 shots, but Aussie Park took out the 7-1 victory there. Bassendean went to Mozzie Park and had a successful run there, 56-shot winners and a full 8 points. So the ladder's looking like W still hanging on to top. South Perth in second, Bassendean third, Manning in fourth, and Mozzie Park and Warmbra at this stage looking like the two teams about to get relegated for one white next year.
What about for the ladies, Johnny?
Yeah, ladies have been up and down. Manning and Mozzie Park, that was a great match that was coming up. But unfortunately, Manning got away to a floor and Mozzie Park couldn't get them back. And that resulted in a 16-shot, 5-1 aggregate win. Sorrento went down to Aussie Park. Aussie Park were hoping to get their season back on track, but unfortunately only scored 1 point. Sorrento picking up 5. Thornlink Safety Bay had a draw, 49 apiece, 3 points on aggregate win there. Melville 48, North Beach 69, North Beach collecting 5 points to 1. And Gosnells taking on Mundaring in the last game with a 5-1 winner, 71-48. So Manning still on top, Aussie Park hot in the tail, Mozzie Park and North Beach running out the top four.
Tell me about the Double View Masters Pairs results.
Yes, that was concluded late last week. And first-time winners were Rob Moyle and Corey Bazan, who W bowlers and taking out their first major title together, winning the W Masters pairs. It was a great final, and it was set up on the first stand where the boys picked up a big seven to keep a bit of a buffer between Cody Packer and Shane Knott. They eventually won the game 21-10, but it was a very high standard game throughout. So congratulations to Cody and also Shane Knott. Great night had by all, obviously. There was a big crowd there, which was great to see, supporting local bowling clubs. And there, the boys managed to have a few sherbets till closing, so it was good for them to spend a bit of money.
All right, and as we let you go, when's Country Week get underway? Is it this week?
This literally kicks off, yes. Friday, we've got a big day of fours, and then Saturday comes through to the pairs, and then they rotate the singles after that. So it will be kicking off around clubs on Wednesday and officially starting on Thursday.
Good on you, mate. Thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Johnny Slavich there for Barron Day Day. Don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything. And tomorrow night here on Sports Day, we'll have our AFLW coaches, Trent Cooper and Luke Dwyer, back-to-back just after 7 o'clock. So make sure that you tune in for that. And Trevor Gleeson will join us, the Wildcats, to take on Cairns in the first of their three finals. And let's hope that the Wildcats can get off to a flying start here at RAC Arena. It will be the start of the first match. And in the next couple of nights, we'll be rolling in the combatants for the Marsh Community Series. The West Coast Eagles will join us. We'll have a chat to Will Schofield. We'll also be joined by, hopefully, the Freo Dockers coach and somebody out of Essendon as well. So really looking forward to your company tomorrow night from 6 o'clock. After the news that is coming up next, it'll be Chris Ilsley here on 882 6PR with Perth Tonight. And we'll see you again tomorrow from 6.